Can't get enough Musky Shit Talk on social media? Then you need to call the Musky Shit Talk Hotline. Our pros are so insecure, they're waiting by the phone 24/7 to talk shit about you and your fish. We've got cheeseheads.
Oh, come on. There's no way that's a 50, you liar.
Don't forget about those fibs.
Hey, nice ride there, loser. Where'd you get it at, Kmart?
Hillbillies.
Boy, you suck. You couldn't catch a muskie if they let you cast at the hatchery at Cave Run.
Canadians.
Hey there, bud. Not so good, eh?
This hotline's so good, we've got the only mean musky fisherman from the Netherlands.
You've been to Schlesinger Oil, but you've been to Hofer.
And if that's not enough musky shit talk for you, for only $1.99 extra a minute, you can talk to the meanest musky anglers from Minnesota.
God, you're a dick. You couldn't catch me if they're jumping in the boat.
The Musky Shit Talk Hotline. We're waiting by the phone 24/7 to prove how insecure we are.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. Tyler Andrews, are you going to call the hotline, buddy?
You know, I want to know what they're saying about me. I want to hear what people who are insecure have to say about my fish.
Well, call me up real quick. I'll let you know, buddy. I don't like you at all.
I secretly hate you.
I hate you. All I want for Christmas is to kick you in the face. I just want you wrapped up under the tree and I just kick you like a football. Anyway, Guru, what do you want for Christmas? Have you been dreaming of anything for Christmas?
Let me see here. I'm going on the Musky Shop website.
Oh, my goodness.
Oof.
Really? I'll tell you this. I already opened. My lovely wife, Jody, hooked me up with my Christmas gifts already.
Oh.
One of them was a headlock. I was pretty excited about that. Got a headlock. Old Unky Jim from the Musky Shop got me a Tranks. And some,
that's nice.
Some lovely hoodies. Big shout out. Thank you much for the Musky Shop boys. I'm going to try out, like I said, trying out a Tranks. Not been my cup of tea. Again, the left-handed real stuff, you know, we're the one percenters over here.
The weirdos over there with the weirdos. Freaking left hand.
So I've tried the Lexa. I like that Akuma. I'm digging that for all you lefties, all three of us, myself and the two other people on planet Earth, the fish left-handed bait casters. The Akuma is good. It's a fast reel, 6.3-1, and they make just a bunch of faster stuff. So I'm going to actually have some stuff where doing a shootout. I've got the left-handed Abu winch and the Tranks 400 and left-handed. So for the I've gotten emails from both of you, the other two left-handed guys. I'll let you guys know in a future podcast what my takeaway is from this, because it's always a weird thing. I mean, it's just like, although I can fish right-handed, Tyler.
I don't believe it. Get out of here.
I can do it.
Get out of here. You can't do it.
Can't do it. We'll do it. So me and you need to do a thing, Tyler, when we're filming stuff. We'll just, like, I'll make you fish left-handed, I'll fish right-handed. We'll see how that goes. Just see how that stuff plays out, man. Anyway, man, goodness gracious. Other than I got some sweet new hoodies. I got my calendar.
Jealous.
That's the one thing, is I got my 2021 Musky Shop calendar. I'll tell you, last minute Christmas stuff, guys, you know, shipping, not going to lie, shipping's crazy right now. Actually, I sent a box to the Guru like 4 years ago. That hasn't shown up yet.
I'm like, has a porch pirate gotten it?
I don't even know. One of Jody's gifts I bought her. She loves to cook, and so I buy her all these fancy knives. They're called Globals, and they're like $1 billion a piece per knife. If you think a musky rod's expensive, check out a Global chef's knife. One of them showed up today. I got three of them for Christmas this year. One of them showed up, and the box looked like it had been attacked by a herd of angry possums, dude. It was like shredded. That thing was,
oh my gosh,
it was setting, it's been setting for like literally, no exaggeration, like 9 or 10 days at the sorting facility. Like I would check the tracking on it. It's like, it hasn't left the sort. And I imagine like they've just got to be just piles. I mean, imagine what these sorting facilities look like. Check out your tracking. There's probably like mountains of crap. Our postman, I stopped and asked him. He's like, yeah, I've been working from like 6 to 11. Like from 6 in the morning to like 11 every night trying to run them out there because everybody's ordered everything. So anyway, what I'm excited about, and I'm just talking baits because I'm going to load up, is after Christmas. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good time. And they got a bunch of sales stuff. I'm not trying to...
Bunch of great deals.
Not trying to push it on you, but if you give, if you're like here in a couple days for your Christmas gift, if you get a gift card, check it out because there's some really cool baits on sale and apparel.
I am jealous you got baits for Christmas. In my family, it's a rule that I'm not allowed to get musky baits for Christmas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because I buy too many.
Why? I need to straighten them out?
Yes.
What's wrong
with you? They won't buy me. They'll go, you want ice fishing stuff, hunting stuff? Fine. No musky stuff.
What are you getting for Christmas? A Nintendo?
Nintendo? No, I actually don't play video games.
Well,
no.
You play one video game that matters.
Musky Shop.
It's not the Musky Shop. It's Musky Country, you moron.
Too many Pepsis.
Musky Country. Talk to Paul today. Musky Country, boys. Once we get after this, listen, after Christmas, you come see old Unky Steve on the podcast. We're going to talk about some Musky Country. You're going to be able to play that bad boy.
Play with me.
You're going to be able to play around here in just a matter of days. We're going to wait till probably about the first. And
you can hold me in your hand.
Hold me in your hand, he says. But anyway, keep an eye out. Little Birdie told me some cool stuff going down on the muskyshop.com after Christmas. So if you get a gift card, if your family loves you and you got a Musky Shop gift card, there's going to be some stuff going down, some stuff on sale, get more bang for the buck. Also, too, send us you want to win a junior's in line? Send us your like disappointed spouse on Christmas when you give her a musky bait.
That'd be awesome.
You know, I want to see tears. Like, you know, could you fit like?
I thought this was diamonds from K.
I want to see somebody get like a K jewelry box, like for a necklace, and there's just like a bucktail in it. Like she's like, oh my goodness, and they like an 8-inch long necklace box, and they open up. And there's like a bucktail in there, like, no, and there's tears. Film that stuff. Film it. You know, your kid up, you get a PlayStation 5 box for your kid, and there's like just 2 Mag Dogs in there. Congratulations, Timmy. He's all excited, opens up. Oh, Mag Dogs.
I think that'd be hilarious. Oh my gosh, it'd be hilarious.
Me and the guru can hook you up with a good divorce lawyer, okay? That's all I'm saying. We will get you lined up if you want to get in trouble for the holiday.
Is that who we should have as a sponsor of the podcast?
A divorce lawyer. The Musky 360 podcast is brought to you by Sakala and Sakala Diverse Attorneys.
Have you just bought a boat too expensive?
Oh my god, dude, we got to do that. Did you?
Did you? Hilarious. Yeah.
New Ranger in the garage.
Wife's not happy. Did she just leave you? We can help you out.
Yeah, too many musky baits. Not too many vacations to Canada. Don't want to lose half your tackle in the divorce. Call Suckala and Suckala. Dude.
Musky, that'd be hilarious.
Literally, it's like just two dudes. They're wearing like Musky Shop hoodies, but they're in court. And it's just like, we're the musky fishing divorce attorneys.
You cannot have all his tackle.
No, he bought that.
No, take all his money and the car, not the tackle.
Not the tackle. You can have it all. Don't you touch the bucktails. Listen, maybe this is a skit we have to put together for the beginning because that's amazing. It's just the musky divorce attorney.
It'd be hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
Right. We're here to net your gear. I don't know. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't have the good closer there. But there's got to be. If you guys have it, that's another. You want to win another Junior's in lines? Just send me your funniest musky divorce attorney lines. You know, it can be like ambulance chaser level stuff. You know, have you been caught cheating on the musky lake? I don't know. Just the
topic. Did your wife sink your boat?
Did your wife's boat? Did she sink your boat? Break your rods and throw away your bulldogs? Maybe it's time to call Succola and Succola musky divorce attorneys.
It'd be hilarious.
It's the only attorney that just doesn't show up to court because he's on a hot bike. He's like, oh, based sorry.
In Dryden.
Yeah, replaced in Dryden. Yeah, Canadian divorce attorneys. Sorry, Your Honor. We were on a hot sucker bite, you know, contempt of court.
Dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
can you imagine how
gosh.
Drunk your musky divorce attorney would be if he's like a musky fishing divorce attorney?
He's got just like a fly fishing vest with bulldogs all over.
Bulldogs and liquor. It's just full of mad dog and bulldogs, folks. I graduated 112th in my class from the University of Phoenix Online. So,
that just would be, please someone send us your best lines.
Yeah, if
I would really appreciate that.
I know, I've actually gotten, if we got any attorneys listening out there that want to chime in, I would love to get some expert legal advice on the musky divorce attorney. You know, how can you protect those serious assets like your boat, your truck, and your gear? I'm teasing. Oh my God. It's Christmas time. Let's get off this horrible tip, you know.
Christmas is here.
Christmas, make sure if you want to have to call the offices of Succola and Succola, don't give her a bucktail in a jewelry box. Guru, it's always sideways. Anyway, on to important things here. We got a new addition to the Musky 360 app.
We did.
Now, I'm pretty picky. I'm a picky eater, and I'm a picky drinker, and I'm just playing around picky, right? I only like the best of the best. So, if we're going to add somebody on the app, it's going to be somebody that I know is not a D-bag, right? And they're good at what they do, excluding the guru. You're all the above. But
I'm pretty horrendous.
We're pretty horrendous. You're just here. Listen, somebody's got to be the side man. Might as well be you. Tyler's here for the abuse, everybody. But you know, like Guru, I mean, you're a killer fisherman. I'm just teasing. Guru's awesome at what he does. You know, Cody Dalton, the Caleb with the freaking crazy bank fish and that little bugger does. And, you know, all these different guys. We ended up talking to Andrew Walker. This dude is on an insane bite, fishes the Ottawa River, fishes the St. Lawrence, you know. And again, if you haven't noticed at the podcast, we got some legends. Trying to avoid all the boomers.
They're old. Super old.
Trying to get guys that are, you know, not boomers. Guys that are a little bit fresh, a fresh perspective. Now, we respect all you legends of the sport and all that stuff. But, you know, 2020, some young blood. Andrew's definitely an addition on that, of these young guys. But, Tyler, and I talked to Andrew. I recorded it already. Guys, brace yourself. We're talking big muskies through the ice. Everybody keeps asking muskies through the ice. I found you.
Yeah.
Found you a serious guy through the ice. So here is a conversation I had with Andrew. Here she blows. All right. I've got Andrew Walker. Andrew is a guide. He's a new contributor here at the Musky 360 app. We're super excited because Andrew's doing some crazy stuff. Andrew, you guide in your home waters. It's Lake of Two Mountains. You live right there on the Ottawa River. You got access to the St. Lawrence, man. Tell me, first off the bat, sort of talk to me about your don't tell me what we're about to drop on these people. Let's not say that yet. Let's talk about non-ice muskie fishing. Talk to me about where you fish in your normal guiding during the normal muskie season.
Yeah, so I kind of live in like a trifecta. I'm like right off the Ontario border on the Quebec side, and mm-hmm. I have the Ottawa River in my backyard, and then the Lake of Two Mountains, which is like a lake in between the St. Lawrence and the Ottawa River. Great musky body of water. Mm-hmm. It's only about 45 minutes from my house, and then the St. Lawrence is also 45 minutes. So like I'm right in the middle of this like super area for like giant muskies, and we have the St. Lawrence strain on top of it, so we get like crazy patterns.
Man, that's a bad place to be. So it's a real bad place to be.
I'm pretty spoiled. Like I go anywhere else, like, and it's just the fishing just seems so much harder than what I'm used to, because like I just have it so good up here that it makes me almost wish that I grew up on a harder body of water so I could appreciate where I am now. But like now that I'm here, I just riding it, because we have a superb musky fishery here.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, it's an amazing body of water. Everybody knows Ottawa River is just superb. You know, me and you've been talking for a while, and it's one of those deals where, you know, you've had just a phenomenal season this year. You've just been crushing it. You know, there's no other way to put it, where you've been putting some serious numbers in the boat, and, you know, he's a guide up there. And your production's been off the charts. I mean, tell me a little bit about your production this season. No, you don't have to tell exact numbers or anything like that, but your normal day, you're putting not a fish in the boat, you're putting multiple fish in the boat. Is that pretty much accurate, you think? Or?
Yeah, the best day that we had this year for three guys in the boat on a day was 14 fish in the boat.
All right, folks, that's the end of the podcast. I'm going to go stick a Smith & Wesson in my mouth.
Like we had a day where I did a video for my YouTube channel, and we had like hit this one spot. We had gone around it twice with blades, and I was like, well, let's try something that's going a little deeper. Maybe they've dropped off this shelf. So I put rubber on, mm-hmm. and within a 50-yard drift, I'd say, on this one part of the shelf, we ended up having five fish in a half an hour with a 51.
Oh, come on, dude. That's vulgar. You're making it worse with not being able to get to Canada. But, guys, if you're thinking about going to Canada and you want to catch – not numbers. I'm not talking a bunch of 30s. I'm talking you want to catch a bunch of big fish. This dude's got it on lockdown. It's phenomenal. But the biggest thing I wanted to talk to you about is the weirdest bite I've ever heard of, the weirdest bite that I know of in the entire habitat range. You are a musky ice fishing guide. What is wrong with you? That is amazing. So.
Yeah, we have a pretty special area, like almost, well, all of Ontario and Quebec, like it closes like any other season, either the 15th of December or the 31st of December. Mm-hmm. But in the zone 8 in Quebec where I live, we actually have our musky season up until the 31st of March. And the craziest thing about Quebec is we're not allowed live bait, so we're fishing all our muskies with dead bait. Mm-hmm. And we're allowed 10 lines per license.
Oh, come on. It's amazing.
So, like, we go three guys, we can, like, cover a huge area with tip-ups. Like, we put out 30 discs, and
uh-huh.
See, it's pretty unbelievable. We don't always get musky on every outing because
right.
About, like, those fall days where, like, you're going to fish bait and, like, the fish might not be there inactive and, like, well, with the boat, you can kind of up and change spots. But after you do, like, an hour and a half of setting all your discs, mm-hmm. you're kind of committed for the day. So, like, if they don't come in on the bait that day, it just might not happen. But our hookup ratio and, like, outings to fish is at least 1 in 2.
If folks, if you're setting in some frozen tundra, or you've wanted to catch a muskie through the ice, come on, dude. I'm going to – listen, when I can cross the border, you better guarantee, because my wife has said I want to go ice fishing, right? For me, there is no way I'm going to sit around an ice hole and fish for walleye. But, however, when the border opens up, you got problems, buddy. We're going to come up there and get on that ice. Here's the deal, Andrew. You texted me on your way home. I said, hey, man, do you have a second so we can talk? He said, yes. And then you texted me the picture that's going to be the thumbnail for this week's episode, right? You've upset me. You've probably upset all the listeners. Everyone's mad at you, okay? Tell us what it's your birthday, A, right? You're out ice fishing for muskies, and tell everybody what happened today, dude. It's not even, oh, this is crazy.
So the season actually opens on the 20th of every year, but I make it a point to go out on my birthday for my first outing every year on the 21st.
Uh-huh.
So I turned 33 today, and this day last year we actually went out. We had there was a guy that was with us, had a 48. We had a 46 and a 44. So it was a three musky day.
Right.
So this year we go out, and this morning we get there about an hour before daylight. The major was this morning from 4:30 till 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we get half our lines in. I'm on my 10th line, and I'm literally setting my depth, tuck the flag underneath the hanger. I'm about to put the disc on to the ice, and the ice is crystal clear. Like, I'm fishing, I was setting these lines in 4 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
The fish came up, took the dead bait while I was holding the disc still.
Ugh.
I tripped the flag by putting the flag up, and it took off a bunch of line. We got the cameras going, and when I hooked into this fish, I didn't really know it was, like, as big as it was. And when I hooked into this fish, it started doing these circles around the hole, and we could tell that we had an over 50 for sure.
Right.
So I ended up landing a 53 St. Lawrence strain squat.
That's amazing. I'm giddy for you, man. Oh, my gosh.
I think I was shaking for 3 hours, honestly, after I had that fish.
Dude.
That's my PB ice muskie. Last year I had a 50 and a half, which had a 27-inch girth, so maybe a little bit heavier.
Right.
But this fish was 53. I didn't girth it. We got it back pretty quick. But, 53 inches long.
Here's my thing, dude. There's not many guys that have caught a 53, right? Not a lot of anglers catch a 50 in their musky career, sad to say. You know, go to St. Clair and troll, you'll get one. How many dudes have broken 50 through the ice?
Honestly, not too many. And the guys that do it are the guys like you guys discussed that are out there fishing like walleye or crappies, and they hook up into one, and the line, for some magical reason, doesn't break, and they land it, and it's like their fish of their lifetime on the ice. Well, I've made it a point over the last few years to, like, specifically figure out how to target these fish.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody else is doing it. We have a legal season. Fish care is number one for us.
Right.
And we just want to get monsters.
I mean, me and you talked originally, right? And we talked about it for, God, it was forever we were talking. The thought that you have St. Clair muskies, or excuse me, apologize, St. Lawrence muskies, right? Floating around, you're just down the road, some of this genetic strain here, some of the biggest muskies in the habitat range. And now we're getting them under the ice when they're just hogging out. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. We're talking, you know, if you called and said, hey, man, I caught a 55 by 28 inch girth, I wouldn't bat an eye. You know, it's one of those things, if you go, that could happen, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
totally.
There's very few places people listen to podcasts all the time. You hear, like, the conversation, where could you run into, like, a real insane, crazy fish? I mean, you're on a bite that nobody knows about. Nobody knows how to do it. Nobody knows where to go for the biggest fish in the habitat range during the time that they're actually putting on egg weight. Come on.
Yeah, they're at their fullest.
That is, like, monster time. I mean, a 53-inch muskie any time of the year is impressive. A 53-inch muskie through the ice is something that is insanity. Just because nobody – I have no point of reference. I'm not even going to act like I do. What was that like landing that fish? Sort of walk us through that experience of trying to fight a 53 through the ice, man. What I mean, my mind is blown.
So we do them all on – I'm really making it a point to try to get them on the rods this year jigging. But all my fish that I caught in the past, I catch them on tip-up for burl flags. I use a 50-pound Dacron line, musky fluoro leaders, 120-pound. And we put, like, quick strike rigs with dead bait. Either we use mackerels because we have to use bait that are caught in Quebec. So we either use mackerels or sucker minnows that you can buy at the bait shop 10 inches and more.
Right.
So when this fish hit, I waited till he was, like, ripping away. He was taking off, but I made sure he was, like, going directly away from me. When I set the hook, like, it felt like I was setting into, like, 40 pounds of, like, bricks because he didn't move.
Right.
And it's all hand lining.
Hold on, everybody. Let's take a moment there. You said that very blasé. Please repeat yourself. It's all what?
So that 53 was hand line.
Okay. Hold on. I got to fan myself a little bit here before I pass out. Hand lining. Think about that. You don't have your 9 foot. Legacy extreme elite boomer stick here, you know, super rich guy rod. You're hand lining. Okay, continue. Yeah.
So when we had done all these holes, I'll just go back a second. The ice is like black ice, 7 inches, crystal clear. So we took all the snow up about a 3 foot square around every hole. So when we do hook fish, we can see the fight. So when I hooked this fish, it was still in the snow area a bit, and it quickly came to the hole. And just started doing, like, 4 foot circles around the hole. And, like, we can see it on the camera. Like, its back was, like, 5-6 inches wide. And we knew. Like, the head was humongous.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of started hyperventilating a little bit right
Absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it came up into the hole a few times. And with the quick strike rigs, like, there was one kind of hanging out and one kind of in the mouth a bit. And, like, we don't have nets. Like, we can't net them in the ice. So you gotta, like, stick your hand in there in the water with these hooks.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So we have his head out of the water. I get my hand into the gill and get my jaw locked, pull him out, get him unhooked. We have a brief moment of hysterical screaming and high-fiving.
Right.
Then we got a measure, and we let him on his way. And we actually had another fish after that, around 42 to 45 inch. And we also had another mid 40 inch at the end of the day come in on the aqua view and, like, come right up to my Medusa twice and almost eat it and then take off. So, like, it was a really good day. We had three musky sightings, and we had 5 pike between 8 and 10 pounds, which we don't really talk about. But
hey, that's fun, though. That's fun.
Yeah.
My mind is blown. Never thought about this. Never thought about these tactics. You know, the guru does a little bit of ice fishing for these things, but not to this extent. My mind is blown. A 53-inch muskie through the ice. Again, I never thought about, like, when you said, you know, there's no net involved. You got to get your hand down there. Talk to me about, you know, you don't have to give away all the secrets. I don't need the exact dimensions or anything of that nature, but I assume you're using a larger hole. What's some of the things you need to, like, have on hand? Are you, like, using grips to get them out of there? Or is it just, like, get their head coming straight up and you just got to throw your hand in there and just risk life and limb to get them out? What's sort of the game plan when we're trying to land one of these things through the ice?
So we use a 10-inch auger because an 8-inch auger is impossible. As soon as you get over, like, 48-inch, those fish are so girthy this time of year. Like, they don't come through an 8-inch hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I use a 10-inch hole, just a one-hole system, because I find if the hole is too big, it gives them too much area to move in the hole, and it's much harder to grab them.
Oh, good.
So when he comes up through the hole, right now we only have 7 inches, so it's not bad. Like, it's easy to turn his head. But when we have 3 feet of ice and that fish is 3 feet down and you can't turn him, like that 50 I caught last year, you're going shoulder deep, blind, reaching down and trying to gill this fish with 2 trebles in it.
Man.
No, we don't use any boga grips because I don't want to hurt the fish.
Right.
We don't use any kind of steel link glove. It's just hand and the fish. That's it.
Dude, that is I salute you for being tough. that is crazy. I love it. I can't even imagine. You know, have you been hooked yet under the ice, or is that just like your worst nightmare? Because I'm sitting here going, I really don't want to have my arm through 2 feet of ice and then be hooked on the other side. That sounds horrible. Have you had any?
Yeah, that would be.
You know, I mean,
I've never had it happen, but it definitely is like the worst.
Crosses your mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have to. You know, that is, if, yeah, this is not lazy. This is not sitting around a hole and having a 12 pack. It doesn't sound like this is some intense stuff. You know, as far as you said, the regulations there in your area, you know, it's a dead bait only. You know, is it a matter, like you said, it has to be locally sourced there, right? So you're just, you've got what they got at the bait store that's dead, blah, 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 blah. You know, are these fish attracted to the scent at all, or do you think it's an action thing? Because one thing I've always wondered is, like, you know, in my book, my rule of thumb, and I've said this and I'm eating crow right now, and I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong, obviously. I've always said muskies won't eat dead baits. So if you've heard me say that, I'm wrong. I admit I'm wrong, because obviously you've proven that that is not a truism. What's going on with them in the dead baits? Do they have to be moving around or to have some action, or will they hit just a stagnant, like this bait is just dead and it's just hanging there?
I have my baits sitting fully, not moving, dead, like stagnant for hours. Like I set lines this morning, and like I don't move them all day. And like we had our lines in by 7:30, mm-hmm. and then like our first muskie was right away, but our second muskie wasn't till noon. So mm-hmm. like that bait sat there for 5 hours, not moving at all, and they come in and pick them up.
Okay, I stand corrected. That's one of the things that, you know, I've actually read books that say that. You know, I've heard anglers say they won't hit them dead. So, you know, hey, if you got a dead sucker, leave him out there. You know, what do you?
And something I really noticed is like there'll be days when they want the suckers, like they want mm-hmm. that natural bait. But there's a lot of days, like today, both of our muskie came on mackerel, and they want that. Like when you drop those baits in the water, you can see the oil coming off. So
really?
It's leaving some kind of crazy oil scent trail mm-hmm. that those fish can pick up on.
I mean, it's one of those things, again, blowing my mind, because we talk, let's talk about conventional casting and scent, right? I mean, it's just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if scent is an issue, obviously in that situation, maybe it's a cold water thing. Maybe, you know, things are moving so slow, water molecules are moving slowly and it matters, blah, 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 blah. But apparently scent matters, because like a mackerel is not something I think of as a musky bait at all.
No.
That, like you said, that so, no. You know, it's a scent thing. It's a dead bait thing, you know, you got it on film. You know, it's not like it's you can't you got the proof. These things will eat dead bait, and like I said, that just sort of spits in the face of a lot of convention. You know, a lot of people have thought, oh, you know, they will never hit anything dead, blah, 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 blah. What would you say is a determining factor for you on trying to locate these fish though through that much ice? Is it a forage thing? Is it a temperature thing? It is a structure thing? What's really making these muskies pick these locations that you're fishing to come in and eat on?
So I'm kind of looking for like three things, and mm-hmm. it converts over from my late fall fishing in the boat, and I go right almost to those spots for when I hit the ice. So like mm-hmm. I was in a boat like 3 weeks ago,
right?
And I kind of know where there's bait stacking up, and like I use the same spots year after year, but I'm looking for bait that's on like the first drop after the weeds. I'm not mm-hmm. looking for like super deep bait. I'm looking for bait in like the 12 to 5 foot range.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want I want this weeds or the first drop to be relatively close to deeper water where these big fish can come up out of, eat a little bit, and then just dip back down and leave. So we always have like kind of new fish regenerating into the area.
Right.
And then the third thing would be just good weeds, like mm-hmm. to try to find the greenest weed that you can this time of year. Like there's a lot of dead weed out there, but sometimes it's only 4 inches high on the bottom, but that little bit of green weed, it just goes up the food chain. It makes the bugs come there, then the shiners and the smaller minnows and the crappies, and then the muskies and the pike show up.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean,
when I go out and set my area, even when it's the area that I go to almost time and time again, like I am very precise, like to to put one disc in, I might drill 6 holes and check every hole with my sonar to find exactly where the weeds are and exactly where the drop is. And then I pick 5 feet off the weed edge, where the weeds were at about 5 feet, and 7 to 9 feet is what we set our lines in. Mm-hmm. And now I'm setting all my lines only halfway down at the most. So if I'm in 9 feet of water, I'm not going more than like 4 feet, 3.5 feet down.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I really like to play that. I find the fish are like relatively close to bottom within the first 3 feet, mm-hmm. and they're coming up under those bait schools and using the ice as their advantage, pushing those bait balls up to the top,
right.
And the bait can't go anywhere.
Yeah, can't bust this. Wow, I never thought about that. There's a hard barrier. Wow. Okay.
Exactly.
Again, my mind is blown because you're going. Yeah. Again, one thing that you reiterated for me, and this applies even if you're stuck down here and we can't go to Canada, and unfortunately we can't fish with you right now if you're not a Canadian. How shallow these fish are, even in cold water. That it's not a matter of let's not go and get probative. I'm not saying there's not a good time to throw bondies, but don't in the middle of the day, don't freak out and go, hey, it's time for us to go out here and jig 40 feet of water. Sometimes there's still,
totally
active fish coming up. And I mean, obviously the water is frozen on the top. It doesn't get much colder than that. And you're seeing those fish slide up, you know, pushing those. Do you think when they come up and they locate these bait schools, you know, they herd them into the shallows at all, or you think they're just coming and sliding in real slow and just, you know, just coming up on them vertically? I mean, I know it's sort of a guesstimation. You may have seen it through the ice. What do you think they're doing when they're actually hitting those active prey?
I honestly think they're schooling them because, like, these muskies don't come in like lone rangers one at a time. Like,
mm-hmm.
there'll be 3 fish that come in, and I'll see 3 different fish on the camera in an hour, and, like, they come in and just push that bait around, like, you'll be marking bait all morning and they just disappear. And then on the camera, here comes one muskie. 5 minutes later, a different muskie.
Mm-hmm.
They're really pushing those bait up and schooling them. Like, they're even using the pike with them. Like, they're not territorial against the pike. Like, they're all kind of teaming up on these bait balls together. And like that 53 inch that we caught today, it was in 5 feet of water, and the 40, the mid 40 was in 3.5 feet of water.
I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, that is, and it, we're talking, you're fishing through 7 inches of ice. And it's like I think, and me and you we've talked about this all, you know, not on the interview, but just in talking. It's like, you know, once it hits winter and they go to that first break, they seem to sort of linger there. You know, they're not. I think a lot of guys think once we get in those low temps is like, I'm going for the, and mind you, it will work on occasion, the deepest, darkest hole on whatever you got. They're going down there to 40 feet. Well, even if they're there and you find those fish, that's not when they're feeding. They're still coming in on those shallow fish, still doing the things that they do. And I love, I'm just envisioning here in my head, a muskie sort of pushing up on these bait schools, you know, and you go, where are they going to go? They can't run hardly anywhere, man. It's amazing. Something that is, you know, I know you're using the AquaViews and using the cameras. When these fish are cruising along there, what's their activity level look like? Are they moving just super slow? Or do they look like they're pretty comfortable when they got some speed to them? Or what are they sort of doing subsurface there when you're watching them?
They have pretty good speed. Like, they'll come in slow, but like I've seen them charge up and charge baits and miss them.
Uh-huh.
And but honestly, a lot of times they're acting a lot like walleye. When you have a finicky walleye bite and you've watched them on cameras,
mm-hmm.
walleye will come up and like come up under a jigging wrap, open their mouth inches from the bait, almost like they're like tasting it or smelling what that bait has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these muskies, like today, the one I had on camera, like they do this time and time again. They'll come inches from the bait, open their mouth like they're just like snapping at it, and then they just like will swim away and they disappear. You give it a couple digs, 2 minutes later, they'll come back, test it again. It's just like they're trying to figure out what it is.
Uh-huh. It's just confusing them or just not. I mean, because I've said this before, like in guys that have been on the water a lot, you'll see it when you're casting, and on occasion you'll get one that's he's jacking his jaws, mouth is open, and we've always called that tasting. You know, they're just take And you go, what do you convert that? Which opens this opens Pandora's box in my mind, where you go, if they're willing to hit a dead bait, is there a scent thing? Is it because I know some guys, and I won't say where, that, you know, they got some walleye, and what they do is they'll soak their bulldogs in walleye guts, and they say it helps. It's a matter of, you know, are these soft plastic? Is there a scent thing that gets you across the line? Have you ever noticed that? Have you played with scents under the ice or on artificials, or what do you think it is? Do you think they're looking for like fish oil or something to sort of seal the deal for them, or what's your thought there?
I haven't played with it, but it's something that I'm very close to trying, because I'm trying to figure out how to get them to bite on the jig. The dead mm-hmm. bait, they'll come up and they're going to take. I don't know how many fish come up and check out a dead bait leave, but like our ratio of catching fish is pretty good. So I think that they're eating when they come to it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the rubber and the Bondis and the Medusas or the little tubes I'm using, these are all artificials with no scent. So, like, I really think that if I were to have something that when they came in up and did that tasting, that smelled to them like it was something, like, even if I just did, like you said, like, soak my baits in my mackerel oil overnight,
mm-hmm.
like, it might make the biggest difference for the jig.
Well, and it's one of those...
Because I do think that's what they're looking for.
And this is a conversation that, like I said, I've had it with Joe, and he went out one time with a... This is when he was working for I think it was Fishing Facts magazine. And he was able to catch a bucktail that had gasoline on it to prove a point that scent wasn't a factor. Right?
Wow.
So he took gas and smeared it on a booker tail and threw it out there and caught a muskie and went, scent doesn't matter. Well, when the fish are fired up, it doesn't matter because now we got speed. You know what I'm saying?
It's yeah, like it's the triggering aspect.
Right, instantaneous speed. But like I said, and I love it because you're changing a lot of my perception of things that we've thought are like hard, fast rules. Dead bait, no. Does scent matter? No. But you're saying a bait that's hanging there that's got scent on it with no action, they're coming in and eating it. They're not coming in and eating that thing because it's got action and a pro. The rules are hard and fast rules for this. And a client asked me, well, how do you pick a bait? I say, speed, action, profile, collar being the last, right? And you go, well, that thing's not moving. You know, you've got a you got a dead mackerel. What's that thing doing? It might as well be a twig. So, you know, you're sort of on this, and I love it because you're definitely on a new frontier here, man. There's nobody doing what you're doing, and you know, obviously we'll keep updated, and I love it because every time I hear about it, you hear about these new bites or new situations, you go, this situation is Pandora's box, because you're proving some things that like I said were hard and fast rules, man. It's mind boggling. We could talk about this for way too long, so let me ask you this. It's been gnawing in the back of my brain. What's the weirdest situation you've run onto the ice with these things? Like, have you had one that just comes in and smokes a bait? Are they coming in like hard and fast sometimes? What's the weirdest thing you've seen on this bite you're working on?
So we had one, we had one 2 years ago. It was an over 50 for sure. When I started doing this muskie fishing, I was just really a multi-species guy, and we had gone out for walleye one day. My buddy was bringing up a walleye, and then all of a sudden he started biting like this crazy fish. Well, this 50-inch plus fish came out of the hole, let go of the walleye, and dropped back down. And it was from that day forward that I knew I didn't want to fish walleye anymore. I wanted to put out discs for muskie every time I went out.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone out and like tweaked my approach, deep water, shallow water, and then eventually found a few good paying spots in the fall that produced into the winter. And we had a fish, the first muskie that we encountered, hit our flag, and we were only maybe 20 yards. By the time we could run to the spool, he had emptied the spool to the knot. And when we set the hook, it was a crazy battle. Like all the 15 minutes to get it just to the hole where we could see it. And we were fighting this fish through 3 feet of ice.
Mm-hmm.
So back then I wasn't using my muskie leaders, like my big fluorocarbon heavy duty. I was just using regular pike metal leaders, and we tried to horse this 50 through upwards into the hole, and it opened the leader. So that had to have been like the one that stuck in my mind the most, because like that was like the that was the needle, like the pick for me that like got me hooked. Like seeing that big of a fish on the end of a hand line with that much power. Yeah, that's what like got me. That was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
It's crazy. And just because I mean, like I said, mind blown here. How are you hand lining these things? And obviously you're wearing gloves because it's cold, but I mean, like they've got to be just making runs on you and just going ballistic for you.
Yeah, I actually don't even wear gloves because like it just slips in my hand a little bit more. And with like the Dacron line, it's a little bit bigger of a gauge, so it doesn't like cut your hands like a smaller braid would.
Mm-hmm.
But like the mid 40 we had today, like when I set the hook on it, he was going away pretty steady. When I set the hook, he ran back at me so fast that I couldn't pick up the line fast enough, and I was sure he was snapped off. And then I ended up like still bringing in the line, and he was on. Like he had ran 20 meters at me so fast that I couldn't even pick it up with my hands fast enough.
Dude. God. I can't even imagine. I've had one. I think I told you one time I had one get wound up in the end of the troller, right? And so I grabbed the line that was on the other side of the prop, and that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I thought I was like freaking, you know, the baddest dude on earth. I cannot imagine, like, you know, the pull. Obviously, at 53, you've got to just be physically. I mean, you're in such. You know, the rod's so much leverage. It's got to be somewhat physically exhausting on some level, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, they're not giving up. Like, when you hook into them, they're fighting, like, to not come out of the hole. Like, we straighten hooks and, like I said, open leaders. And so, like, you got to be ready for what the fish is going to do. If he's going to run, you got to let him run. And when he's ready to turn and come, you pick up that line and try to get his head into the hole because... One wrong, like we're dealing with these big 50 plus class fish with all this egg weight. You get them up to the hole and they like do one wrong head shake, like they're just going to straighten your hooks.
Because the amount
like,
of pressure.
It doesn't matter. Like with the rod, you have that forgiveness, but on a hand line, if you're not giving it to them enough loose, they're just going to straighten those hooks right out.
God, like I said, I feel like a neophyte. I know nothing. I have so many questions. So, you know, one thing that is a big no-no for me, and I'm sure it's for you when you're using rods, you never, ever, 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 ever would you put that kind of torque on a muskie, like, head up, you know what I'm saying, trying to lift him into the boat or something crazy? Like, how are you balancing that with the hooks? Because, I mean, I've had people do it, fish hit in the figure eight, and they pull the rod up, and we've got all this weight, and the hooks are straightened up so quick. Are you just sort of, like, gauging it in your hand and go, you know, you're feeling it out and just sort of know when to play and let him get back? Or it's like at a certain point we just have to go, I got to trust that these hooks are going to hold and we're just going to turn his head up towards the sky. I mean, walk me through it because I know nothing. I'm just listening at this point. I love it.
Yeah, like you'll see, I have the video coming out on my Cast and Conquer YouTube channel probably in a week or
Absolutely.
Two. But like you'll see, when I set that fish, it's like dead weight, and he kind of comes at me so I can bring him to me. But, like, when he's doing those circles around the hole, I was just holding him. Like, I knew my line wouldn't break and my leader wouldn't break, and it just comes down to the hook at that point. And with the crystal clear ice that we had, I could see that he had one hook kind of underneath his head, and the other hook was, like, in his mouth, like, buried. So, in my opinion, he wasn't coming off unless he straightens those hooks. So, if I don't apply, like, a crazy amount of pressure, and when he wants to go, I just let him like pull some line through my hand. There should be no reason that I do pull the hooks.
Right. So, man, I'm saying like, yeah, I know. I have no clue. I can't even imagine. You know, I'm going to sit here and go, but hey, let me ask you this, and it's probably in other people's heads. I mean, do you have any kind of percentage like, that get off because of that? Because I'm like I said, we're talking a 50, you got a 53 inch fish today through a 10 inch hole in the ice. I mean, do they ever like wear the line out on the ice, or, you know, do they finally just sort of give up in that situation and calm down? you know, what's some of the mishaps you can run into in that situation? What, I mean, obviously there's a litany, like you said, snaps and all this stuff, but you know, we're trying to get a 53-inch fish through a 10-inch hole. You know, do you have to watch out for the line angle so it's not wearing on the ice? Is that an issue for you? Or
no, with the big Dacron line, the line isn't an issue in breaking.
Okay.
But the fish do tire. Like, that first 2 to 4 minutes, like, these fights don't last much longer than 5 minutes. Like, we're still trying to, like,
keep
not
it,
play the fish for too long to overexhaust them, you know?
Right, obviously.
So we're kind of, like, pulling on them, and, like, when we get into the hole, that's the most stressful part, because you got to – that fish normally comes up against the ice, and you now have to turn that fish to come vertical through the hole. So, like, you have all that weight putting right on those hooks. And when you have not both of the hooks in the mouth and one of them is sticking out like today was, there's a good chance when you try to pull them up that that hook might grab the ice, and, like, that's a very easy way to lose them for us.
Mm.
Like, 90% of the fish, we don't lose a lot of fish. I've only lost probably three muskies in 4 years to the ice. But the ones I'd say we do lose are fish that pick up the bait, the flag goes up, they'll take it up into super shallow water in the thickest weeds. And when they take that line, they're passing through all these weeds with the line. Well, that line's just getting a little bit more tension on it, a little bit more tension. Well, eventually, when they can't pull it freely, they drop the bait. They're super shy like that.
Mm-hmm. And they just, wow. Man. Andrew, I love it. I'm absolutely blown away. I'm so excited. You know, you're a new contributor here on the app. Andrew's going to be shooting quick tips for us. His videos are going to be on the app now. You can't get a more unique fishery. I know we're going to talk more about this coming up. If you're in Canada, which I know you are, I know they're up there, as you've heard us jokingly call them, cabbage dragons, you know, the made-up Canadian slang for these things. If you're itching to get a big muskie and you're in Canada, and I know you guys are listening because I see the numbers, get a hold of Andrew. Andrew, what's the best way to get a hold of your guide service, my friend? What's your website, or what's the best way to contact you guys?
So I have all my social media outlets, like Instagram, Facebook. I can take book clients on there. But the best way is probably my website, which is just www.castandconquer.ca. You can book straight up there, the number of days, the species, what you want to do, summer, winter. That's definitely the best way.
Absolutely.
And we can make it happen. Like, we have great, like, we're not getting a fish every, like, 6 or 10 times out. Like, 1 in 2 times we're hooking muskies through the ice.
I mean, you can't ask for better than that. I mean, that's some of the best. And like I said, we don't want to get on. I know what you did this summer. You know, I don't want to ruin it for everybody or make everybody feel self-conscious, because you told me what you did and I felt bad. I went, goodness, come on. It's not even fair. I can promise you this. When that border is open, I'm going to be up there. We're going to be filming some stuff for the app. I'm going to be up there fishing with Andrew, because you got one of the craziest best bites I know of. Also, too, guys, if you want a cool winter trip, be thinking about even next winter, get a hold of Andrew. Dude, I'm stoked. I know I'm coming up there and we're going to go fish some of those rivers. And I know I'm coming back up and we're going to fish through the ice together and do some of this stuff. Super excited. You're super knowledgeable. Super, 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 super cool. I'm glad you're a new addition here to the app. You'll be hearing a bunch more from Andrew, guys, here at Muskie 360. I'll talk to you here soon. Okay, Andrew?
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. All right, Tyler. How ready are you? Ready? Like, are we packing our bags? Do you think me and you could get across the border? I'm just throwing this out here. I want to fish with Andrew so bad I can't stand it. A 53 through the ice is insane, like I said.
I think I could take him at the border. We can make it across.
No, here's what I'm thinking. We can't fight our way through. Those Canadians, you know, they don't play around, Ray. Me and you, two-man moose costume.
I've had thoughts about that. I've had thoughts about being a black bear or like a wolf.
Two-man moose costume. We just sort of walk down to the river, making moose sounds. I don't know if a moose makes that sound, but he does. I'm just a moose. We're just sort of, we're not trying to cross the border. We're just trying to eat this delicious grass and bend down. I'm the front, obviously. I don't want to be in the back. Bend down, fake a bite of, and then we just swim across the river, Tyler. What do you think? It might work. Just throwing it out there, not trying to
get me. Are you sure you want to be trapped in a closed airspace with me?
To get to Canada, I would. My standard.
Brave man, folks. Brave man.
Secondly, we find a mama bear and we dress as cubs. There's a chance we might get mauled, but if we just sort of fit in and we just sort of come waddling behind them and swim the river across the border.
But when we break away, what happens if she takes to us, tries to get us back? And we're all fishing for muskies and she comes and gets
my babies.
Get back here.
Get back here. I don't know. You know, it's the holidays. If you got a better idea how to sneak across the border, let us know. I'll send you Junior's inline. I don't know. I'm on Amazon. I haven't ordered the moose costume or the baby bear costumes yet. We've tried mailing you across the border. Tyler ended up at a sorting facility for 9 days. It's cold and I'm hungry. And they keep kicking the box. Anyway, Tyler, isn't that amazing though with Andrew?
Dude, that's insane.
One of the coolest bites. You know, that's what I love about muskie fishing is you never know it all. It's different. You know, it's the same, but yet it's different. You just learn so much, and it's so exciting to hear guys that are sort of on the cutting edge of the sport, and Andrew's going to contribute here at the app. We're super excited to have him on here. Again, congratulations, a freaking 53, just monster through the ice.
Crazy, dude. It's so unique. It's just no one does it. It's awesome.
So for all you guys that have been, I want to know about how to catch them through the ice, I found you your dude. Anyway, Guru, it's Christmas is here.
Oh, Christmas.
I'm vibing.
Baby, it's cold outside.
That song's racist. You can't sing that anymore. did they like blackball that one on the radio or something?
I don't know.
They said it was sexist or something. Listen, whatever. We're very PC here, Tyler. Baby, it's cold outside. You can't do that anymore.
Shame on me.
Shame for shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Kick them off.
Kick them off. Anyway, Tyler.
Yes,
we're about to wrap her up here. I'm going to hold on. There she went. There's another one. Going to wrap it up, but we need another contest. I don't think anybody really wants to get killed by their wife or their children for giving them musky baits and making them cry. What do you got? You know, is someone getting their stocking stuffed, so to speak?
I gotta think. I'm being forced to think on the fly. Yeah. I don't know, man.
How about it could be, you know, maybe it's like, you know, it's winter, most of you aren't fishing. I don't know. Send us your funniest story from this summer. If it's good enough, just send us something. We you know, you Midwesterners that can't fish.
Send something crazy. Like, you know, I was fishing, saw a bear, boated up to the bear, take a picture, bear hopped in boat, stole boat. I want stories like that.
Whatever you got. Your best story is going to win you in Junior's inline. Tyler, it is pretty much Christmas.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you all for supporting the podcast. And you guys are awesome. You guys make our world go round and make it worth doing this every week. It's not like we have all the free time in the world. So this is a labor of love, and we love being here. Thank you for your support. Hopefully you are blessed this Christmas season. Guru, tell these people Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, listeners. And we love you.
And a Happy New Year.
Can't get enough Muskie shit talk on social media? Then you need to call the Muskie Shit Talk Hotline. Our pros are so insecure, they're waiting by the phone 24/7 to talk shit about you and your fish. We've got cheeseheads.
Oh, come on. There's no way that's a 50, you liar.
Don't forget about those fibs.
Hey, nice ride there, loser. Where'd you get it at, Kmart?
Hillbillies.
Boy, you suck. You couldn't catch a muskie if they let you cast at the hatchery at Cave Run.
Canadians.
Hey there, bud. Not so good, eh?
This hotline's so good, we've got the only mean muskie fisherman from the Netherlands.
You've been to Schlechtse Fischer all your dream, but
and if that's not enough muskie shit talk for you, for only $1.99 extra a minute, you can talk to the meanest muskie anglers from Minnesota.
Todd, you're a dick. You couldn't catch me if they're jumping in the boat.
The Muskie Shit Talk Hotline. We're waiting by the phone 24/7 to prove how insecure we are.